anybody can talk about wine. But what you're about to experience is a grape encounter.
This is David Wilson with another edition of Grape Encounters Radio. And you know, there are certain things that you absolutely can't get enough of. And I could probably spend 100 hours trying to get enough of my number one hero in the wine business, Mike Gergich. And we have featured Mike on 3 shows so far, all material that we did in an interview up in Napa. Today, we're sitting in Mike's home, and I have so many questions, Mike, that I have wanted to ask you. And it's such a privilege to be able to do a follow-up interview with you.
Thank you for coming to see me. As you know, I cannot go out because of my back injury, but you coming to see me is definitely best medicine that someday I might walk.
I'm concerned, though, because the last time I talked to you, we talked about maybe foot stomping some grapes together. Does this mean that you're not going to be able to do that for a while?
I think by the next harvest, we can stomp. We have beautiful Cabernet full of color. And then after stomping a Cabernet Sauvignon, your feet get colored by Cabernet color. And to take something home, you step outside on a white T-shirt and you take your footprints.
Oh, and you step onto the T-shirt.
On T-shirt, white T-shirt, so that your toes, everything is there as a special event in your life.
Now, I believe that you do foot stomping at the Gergich Winery, do you not?
Yes, but we have added to it that people bring home some souvenir from that occasion.
Now, are you able to wash that shirt? Yeah, that wine stain's not going to come out. It's going to turn a little brown probably after a while, right?
It's definitely, some people don't need socks anymore. They get cold feet.
They just walk around with their purple feet instead. When was the last time you foot stomped grapes?
Last season.
You did?
Every season. I started at my age of 3. In my family, when it was harvest, everybody has to work. Even at 3, they put me in the barrel and I was stomping the grapes. This way they know I am somewhere. And I was participating in the harvest.
You still love doing it?
Since then, every year.
Every year since then.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about how many years that is, because you have a landmark birthday coming up in April, right?
In April, on 13th of April, will be 90 years old.
Get out of town. You know what's so interesting about that is the Judgment of Paris, which you are most famous for. It, of course, is the event that really and truly put California wines, American wines, on the world map, on the world stage, in the world spotlight. You were in your 50s. You weren't a kid when that occurred. Am I right?
I believe that every person, if he's working to improve himself, someday might produce something. If you have a goal, you might get it. If you don't have a goal, you will never get it. I had a goal to make a little winery in California. That's what I came from, Croatia. And then when I started to work in the wineries, I was fortunate to work with Andrei Chelichev, who was dean of California winemaker.
He was the greatest winemaker working in the area and one of the greatest winemakers in the world.
Yes, there is no one other that can beat him. And I absorbed everything I could get from him. And in 9 years working with him, particularly red wines, Cabernet, Private Reserve, Beaulieu Vineyard, that was when I came to Napa Valley. Was the best wine in America and known all around the world. Red wine, Cabernet Sauvignon, Private Reserve, BV. However, when he retired, I switched from him to Robert Mondavi because he just opened that new winery with great promises. And Robert Mondavi was a unique person in his way. He was promoter. He was not winemaker, but
right.
he was trying to put good winemakers to work for him. So I went to him and told him that I admire his new way. He started to produce only varietals, 9 varietals before that people, Burgundy, Chablis, Sauternes, all this, he decided to go into the varietals only, top varietals. And I was really interested because always in me was some feeling that I have to climb up. And some people climb the mountain and they stop about 200 feet from the top. But if I climb, I climb to the top.
So when you have a goal, you're intent on fulfilling that goal. Is that right?
Yes, I believe strongly into it. And because of that goal that I decided to go to America and make the better wines than we make in Croatia.
How did you know that they were making great wines in America?
My professor was in California on sabbatical leave for 6 months. And when he came back, we asked him about Vineyard California wines. And he was amazed how good quality.
And what year would that have been? Do you recall?
1954. And it was just
beginning in California. Yeah, I mean, nobody was thinking of California as a winemaking region at that point in time.
But Croatia was wine much behind than in American those days. And I get the idea, I'm going to go to America.
Tell me the transition from a 10-year-old who leaves the family home to college to America. What happened in between from the time that you were 10 to the time you graduated from college and decided to head to America? How did you keep yourself busy? How did you support yourself?
I was supporting myself when I was at the university because of communism. The communism will produce two classes of people. One are communist members that are very important. They can do anything. But scientists are very important too because they need to have progress. So I didn't think that I can be a communist, but I thought maybe I can be a scientist. So when I started university at Zagreb, I joined two institutes in genetics, making fruit varieties, new fruit varieties, but pollinating the one variety.
Really?
Is another. And another genetics institute where I was crossing the wheat, usually when rains falls down and it's not good for quality, to produce wheat that will not fall down after rain. And so
you were producing wheat that wouldn't get beaten down by the heavy rains.
Yeah, so
How did you approach that?
I was crossing rice, young lily rice, just lily, 1-inch rye.
Yeah.
And graft on it the wheat. Wheat.
And that's what it would take?
Like in the grapes, we graft on the...
And do they actually use that kind of wheat today? That's in existence?
I don't know yet, but it's working.
You were making a rain-resistant wheat?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have trying to make the new varieties of the fruit, and I was paid for the job. So I went myself through. At the same time, I have feeling that I'm accomplishing something with my life.
Wow.
My goal, I'm climbing, no matter how high I'm climbing, but I'm going ahead.
At that time, though, when you were in the university, you still intended to focus on grapes, is that right?
Grapes and wine.
Grapes and wine.
And
with a little experimentation on wheat. On the side.
To make a living.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was told that I graduate in 4 years. Usually it takes 5-6 years.
Wow.
And I graduate with the highest score at my university in enology and viticulture.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking to Michael Gergich, who is one of the most important names in American wine history. He is the man who created the Chardonnay that won the very famous Judgment of Paris in 1976. In a second, we're going to talk about the fact that your suitcase and even that wine is in the Smithsonian Institute right now, right?
Museum of American History.
Okay, we're going to pick it up in just a second. You're listening to David Wilson with my very, very, very special guest, Michael Gergich, on Grape Encounters Radio. Listen, I'd like to invite you to be a part of the vacation of a lifetime, and it's all going to take place April 14th through the 24th. It'll be 10 magnificent days of sailing across the Adriatic and Aegean Sea aboard the Regent Seven Seas Mariner. I'm going to be your guide on this trip, and it will be an adventure that begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night in Venice. Then it's 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus much, much more. So to learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540, or you can visit the grapeencounters.com website, look at the ad for the trip, click on it to be a part of the adventure of a lifetime. It's going to be the best time you've ever had with a glass of wine in your hand. David Wilson here, inviting you to join me for a cruise of a lifetime. Sail from Venice to Istanbul, 10 magnificent days across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas next April 14th through the 24th, aboard the all-suite, all-balcony Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Our adventure begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night in Venice, then 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including fine wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus much more. Explore Montenegro, Athens, Santorini, Rhodes, Ephesus, and exotic Istanbul. On board ship, we'll have private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, cocktail parties, and talks about wine, all with me. Regent Seven Seas is the world's most inclusive luxury cruise line. The Mariner accommodates only 700 guests. The ship will sell out. To learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540 or click the link on grapeencounters.com. Paul Cullen is an amazing musician who makes truly amazing wines. Paul is the former bass player of the legendary band Bad Company. But today, he's an amazing pioneer in the creation of very special music written and produced to complement his equally special wines. Unplugged and Uncorked is Paul's answer to everyone who believes that music and wine are inseparable. Paul's wines are a celebration of life. From his luscious red Sonata Rosso to the purely irresistible Sonata Rosé to the wildly wonderful Sonata Bianco. Paul Cullen's wines are pure pleasure. Paired with his music or yours, savored with your favorite meal, or simply sipped on a porch swing. If you want to know more about Paul Cullen's wine and music, simply visit paulcullen.net. You can learn all about Paul's ambitious Unplugged and Uncorked project, buy wine, music, and even download some of Paul's most decadent recipes. Go ahead, live large. Visit paulcullen.net today. What an amazing privilege to have a follow-up conversation with legendary winemaker Michael Gergich. We're sitting in his home. I have hundreds of questions I could ask you, Michael, but I'll probably limit it to just a half a dozen. But a lot of exciting things happening in your life in the past year, and more exciting things to come. You are featured in an exhibit in the Smithsonian Institute. And tell us about that. That's got a bunch of your personal effects and also has, what, a 1973 Chateau Montelena Chardonnay, right?
1996, Smithsonian Institute came to Napa Valley talking about wines, and that maybe they might exhibit some of the good wines in their institute. Because it was none yet. The first two wines that was accepted for Museum of American History was Warren Winiarski Cabernet 73 that won Paris Tasting, and my 73 Chardonnay that won the highest score on Paris Tasting, 132 points.
out of how many points?
132 points Mike scored. The next was Warren Winiarski, 127.5. Mike Chardonnay was the winner.
How many bottles of that Chardonnay do you think exist in the world today? You know, somewhere, somebody has a cabinet in their home that has a bottle of that sitting way back in the back that they don't realize what they have, don't you think?
They will realize if they listen to this story.
Yeah, exactly.
The story is that in London last year was auctioned one bottle of 73 Chardonnay that I have made, got $11,300 for one bottle of Chardonnay.
That was a bargain.
Yeah.
That was a bargain. Somebody got a bargain. It's a good thing the economy is lousy. You know, that's just going to be worth a lot more than that.
Do you have
a few of them yourself, right?
Yes, but it was $6 at the time of release.
Yeah, that's appreciation.
Best investment ever.
It was $6. What does a bottle of Gurgit Chardonnay cost now?
$42.
$42. So you can just do the math on that one.
Yeah.
So you have a few bottles, but I often wonder how many homes, not just in America, but in the world, have a little cabinet or a place in the basement where somebody's just stashed away some wine and, you know, maybe grandma and grandpa stashed it away and forgot about it. Somewhere, well, I should say this, in lots of places in the world, there are bottles of wine sitting that are waiting to be discovered. Have you ever come across anything like that?
I didn't, but I do guess that there is at least 1,000 bottles somewhere around.
Yeah.
Mostly for people who forgot about it. It's collecting dust. But if they know that wine is worth $11,000, they might clean the dust, enjoy them.
So your birthday is coming up on April 13th, and you're planning on opening one of your bottles. What do you expect to find in that bottle?
This bottle was made in the same style which I have made 73 Chardonnay. In between, we have been playing this and that, how to make Chardonnay, but this Chardonnay was made.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about, I want to clarify to people who are listening, the Gurgit Hills Estates
will release
a very special edition of a Chardonnay that will commemorate
2010 vintage.
It's a 2010 vintage, but it will commemorate the victory
released,
76 of the Judgment of Paris.
Released with that.
Okay, and that's what you're going to be opening that. But my question also is, do you have a bottle, the Chardonnay that won the Judgment of Paris? Do you have one of those in your possession?
Yes, I do.
And would you open that?
I do three, and possibly I will compare.
Am I invited over? I just invited myself.
I will be very happy that you come.
I'll be knocking on the door. Hey, Michael.
A little teeny tiny
glass in my hand. Yeah. But that would be exciting to taste that. Yeah. How wonderful. What kind of shape do you think that wine is likely to be in after all these years?
What we can see, it's clear.
It's clear.
There is no haze, and there is no sediment, and there is no browning, which was Mr. Barrett mentioned, that wine has a bottle shock. It never had a bottle shock.
It never happened, right?
It never happened. Neither have it that bottle shock now. It's still clear, without crystals, without changing with the color.
So you believe that wine is in good shape and drinkable?
Yes.
That's a long trip for a Chardonnay. How did you maintain it? How did you store it?
I stored it in my cellar under my house in Calistoga. I believe that wine was so well made, though it had a bad name, bottle shock.
Yeah.
That will last much longer than people expect. 19 years after that wine was made, it was tasted by one spectator in San Francisco and scored 96 points. 19 years old.
19 years later.
Late.
And it got a 96.
96.
Amazing.
Like longevity is part of my style of winemaking.
What is the secret to longevity when it comes to wine?
Watch them always and create conditions for them that they need.
What's the biggest mistake that winemakers make?
I have to judge what they need. Like mom, I have to judge what children need. If you need their needs, if they are well made, they can last a long time.
Yeah. So every child is different.
Every child is different. I have tasted at the Coppola 1898 Cabernet Sauvignon.
Wow.
I was still unspoiled.
Yeah.
He wine for me. dinner, and we went down to the cellar, and it was dust all around the two-corn bottle, and the label was handwritten.
Is that the oldest wine you've ever tasted?
Yeah.
Let's talk in a moment about a very important documentary that was made in your home country. That's gotten a lot of attention, and I so would like to be able to see that, but it's going to be rescreened in the Napa area again very soon. So we'll talk about the documentary that was made about Michael Gergich and the Judgment of Paris next on Grape Encounters with David Wilson. Whether it's a birthday gift, anniversary gift, or a housewarming gift, a lot of people love to give wine, but are often torn about what wine to give. So I have an alternative suggestion. And on the line is Tom Silberkleit, who created that suggestion. Tom?
Hey, David, I wanted to let you know that people are calling me to ask if we would send them an autographed copy of one of our books, The California Directory of Fine Wineries.
That's totally cool, but an autographed copy takes a little bit of time. If somebody doesn't have the time to wait for that, what else can they do?
So I highly suggest Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or independent bookstores. That's the best way to get these books.
But if they want an autographed copy, how do they do that?
You know, I'll be happy to do it. They can contact me via my website, californiafinewineries.com, and we will personally autograph a copy to whoever the folks would like.
It's the greatest photographic tribute to California's finest wineries, the California Directory of Fine Wineries. As much as it breaks my heart, I know it's impossible for you to catch every episode of Grape Encounters Radio, and that is why we archive everything we do at grapeencounters.com. As a matter of fact, you will find a full 3 years of Grape Encounters episodes at grapeencounters.com. All you got to do is go there, look to the left, there's a button that says shows, click on it, and they are archived by month and by year. And as I said, everything we've ever done is right there for you. We've interviewed some amazing guests. We have amazing insights into the wine business and wine drinking, and it's all about making your wine drinking experience a lot more fun. That's why you want to go to grapeencounters.com, click on the show archive, and check out the past episodes that you missed of Grape Encounters Radio. With what I can only call a special edition of Grape Encounters Radio, because it is another visit with Michael Gergich, the legendary winemaker who won the Judgment of Paris in 1976. He has influenced so many winemakers, not just in the United States, but around the world. And he has been a hero to a whole lot of wine drinkers, especially me, Michael. I'm number one fan.
That means you have a good taste.
It does. It does mean I have good taste. I love your wines. They're consistently amazing.
And usually people who have good taste for wine have good taste for women, because two W's.
Women and wine, that's all you really need in life, right?
Right?
Well, actually, you kind of need money to be able to afford both. You have a daughter who is playing a major role now in the Gergich winemaking establishment. And are you proud?
I am very happy that she's next generation. And in all country where I came from, we even don't know how many generations, but everybody in the past, what do we know, has been making wine.
For as long as you can remember,
and wine was the part of the living. So I always tried that she understand that. She's very much committed to best wine that we can make.
She's fussy.
Year to year. Quality.
Good, good. Let's talk about the Croatian wines for a second. When was the last time you went back to your home country?
I went back 2 years ago. I was supposed to go last year in May, but because of the back injury, I couldn't go. As soon as I get well, I'll go over there, because they're waiting for me. they want if I come to Zagreb to present two documentaries.
Right, let's talk about the documentaries.
In which I am playing the role as the only actor.
You're the only actor. And you're not acting.
I am just...
You're just being yourself.
Telling the truth.
What caused them to contact you? How did that all happen?
I have come back after communism was elected after office. I came back and I asked the president of the country, what can I help country to recuperate from communism? And he said, what do you do in America? I said, I'm making wine. Why don't you make wine here? And so in 96, I opened a winery over there. I made stainless steel jacket tank in Santa Rosa. I brought them to Texas by railroad and from there by ship to Croatia. I imported French oak barrels. I established air conditioning. I produced wine. The first wine that I produced there was chosen by committee of Croatian winemakers to present Croatian wines in United Nations. So I have to go to United Nations and brought with me my wines that I made there. And one chef came from Zagreb. So 1 month in United Nations was served Grgić Vina, which is the name of the winery over there, and Croatian food. So I was
still making wine there now?
Yeah.
What varietals are you making?
We make one white, which is called Poršib, and one red, which is Plavac Mali. And we have some of this wine for sale in Rutherford and Grgić Hills cellar that we import from Croatia.
I would love to taste those wines. I would love to taste those. Tell me what those wines compare to. The white wine would be similar to what?
It's like wines in America maybe 20 years ago. When we used to make elegant white wines.
Hmm.
So it didn't go too heavy body. It was elegant.
Elegant. And the red?
And red wines are like Pinot Noir.
It's like a Pinot.
Yeah, the dead style.
But this is a grape that's indigenous to Croatia.
And I decided not to plant Cabernet or Chardonnay in Croatia. I decide to make wine out of local grapes that grew there already, just improve the quality of making of the wine.
And you treat each one like your child.
Yeah, and they say like a child. And I was very honored when I walked in the United Nations with my wine.
Have you ever considered blending wines from Croatia and California, making a blend?
I think that's something that I might do. Because I always like to do something.
That would be a very interesting cross-cultural project for
yes,
you.
Yes.
Another mountain for you to climb.
Yeah, and for promotion purposes and something new to enjoy. Because those wines are very enjoyable.
Now, you talked about wines being very elegant some years ago. Tell me your impressions about what's going on in the wine industry today. We're seeing, for starters, a big surge in the production of wines that are now being sold in boxes. Wines that are being sold in aluminum, wines that are even being individually packaged in plastic glasses. Does that trouble you or are you okay with that?
No, I have my own style that I have been making at the Grgić Hills from beginning.
Right.
Elegant style. And that Mr. Parker came and he was influenced many American winemakers to get away from that elegant wines, which was very enjoyable, and have produced such a disgusting about two alcoholic wines. So now the restaurants and public request more enjoyable wine rather than big wines.
Right.
So time for those big wines is gone.
Does it bother you when you walk into a restaurant and you look at the wine list and it's the same old mass-produced wines over and over and over again? Does that bother you?
Then Cabernet put together, and there is not much difference of them.
Yeah.
If they have high alcohol, all you smell, it's like a grappa. You smell alcohol. You don't smell aroma. And some people went into those high alcohol wines. We kept our elegance in our wines, and we are very happy that is now finally public coming back to these wines which are enjoyable. They have a right character. They have good taste. They are food-friendly wines. And this is the future of the good wine in America, is to produce elegant wines and produce them not mechanically or industrially, but artistic making wine. That means put your feelings into your wine and make them.
And keep it in a glass bottle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're never going to put your wines in a plastic pouch.
No.
Are you okay with that? I mean, if people want to do that, and if that gets young people interested in wine, is it okay?
I believe that it's hurting my heart, because I always was looking for the enjoying of the wine. And I believe because those wines are so cheap, they are not really made by winemaker that have three legs. I don't know where you heard that story.
You are known as the three-legged winemaker. Explain why.
Winemakers are made only with two legs. So winemaker have to have a leg into vineyard, because that's what wine start. Have to have the winery and then buys the cane to use to market the wine.
Which describes you.
Two legs and a cane. Winemakers, three legs.
We're talking to one of the greatest winemakers who's ever lived on this planet, and certainly one of the people I most respect in this business, Michael Gergich, sitting in his living room and having a wonderful conversation. And by the way, sipping on a little bit of 2010 Fumé Blanc, which is beautiful and elegant.
Elegant, yes.
We talked earlier about climbing mountains. What's the next mountain for you?
Wherever I have opportunity, I'll climb it.
What haven't you done that you'd like to do?
I still believe knowledge that I have acquired from other people to deliver to the young winemakers. That is my special satisfaction, that somebody comes to me and asks me the question to answer. I'm very happy to give them whatever I know about it, because other people used to give me what I know. Appreciate Andrei Chelchev, Robert Mondavi, and I know how I feel happy when I can tell somebody who is thirsty for more knowledge to help them.
How often do young winemakers contact you and pick your brain?
Have one example, if you let me.
Sure.
I was in a restaurant and had a lunch, and suddenly a young gentleman kneeled next to my table and asked me whether I am Mike Gergich. I say, I am. And he said, Mike, I'm so happy to meet you, because of you, I am a winemaker now. And he brought me a bottle of Chardonnay and signed for me. I didn't open it, but I keep that bottle for souvenir, because I have done, at least I know that I have helped somebody to make better wine and to be a good winemaker.
When will you drink that bottle of wine?
Someday when I feel a good friend like you.
Ah, this might be that day. All right, Michael, we're at the end of the show. Can you believe it?
We talked a lot, but there is still more.
There's always next week.
Yeah, and next time we will continue to emphasize the quality of Napa Valley wines.
Well, let me ask you this before we go. What about the rest of the country? They're making wine in every state now, and there really are some fun wines and beautiful wines coming from other parts of America. Have you had a chance to try much of that?
Yes, I do. I actually was invited to open first winery in Washington State.
In Washington State.
My sister lived in Washington State, and on vacation I'll go up, and I didn't see any winery there. So I heard that there is Wine Institute, and I went to see them, and they have few wines and made some wine. And I told them, I would like to be a pioneer. I'll be a first winemaker in Washington State. How can I do it? He said, you need money. You see, you're a newcomer, you have no money. He said, I can work on it and I'll let you know. So they connected some gentleman in Seattle who was in business and had the money. And he was looking himself to open the winery. So we get together and we opened.
What year was that?
Saint Michel Winery.
You opened Saint Michel Winery?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's a little piece of history I didn't know. You did.
Yeah.
Wow. How did I miss that one? Wow.
And
what year was that?
I cannot remember which year, but that was very important for me because that was my heart desire to be a pioneer. When I saw that there was no winery in Washington State to be a first one. And I did start that winery, and later on has been sold to American Tobacco Company.
All right, Michael, I really appreciate it. It's been so nice talking to you. We're going to get you back on very soon. We'll talk about other things. I want to take a trip up to Napa and spend some time just walking around the vineyards and the winery with you.
David, you have a good knowledge about wine, and you are a good promoter, and wine industry need you. And so don't stay away. Just stuck with the wine as I did all my life, and you'll be happy. You'll live up to 90 years at least, maybe up to 100.
No, trust me, I'm not going to stop till I reach the top of the mountain.
Yeah, right.
And then there's another mountain behind that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Michael Gergich, what a pleasure to talk to you. It's Gergich Hills Estate, really.
Yeah.
The winery now, today. Grab a bottle or two of those wines and enjoy them. There's no question that no matter which Gergich wine you grab, it will be out of this world. Fair enough?
86 years of experience in every bottle of Gergich Hills wines.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been such a pleasure, Michael. Thanks very much. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio after this.
Thank you, David.
David Wilson here, inviting you to join me for a cruise of a lifetime. Sail from Venice to Istanbul, 10 magnificent days across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas next April 14th through the 24th, aboard the all-suite, all-balcony Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Our adventure begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night in Venice, then 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including fine wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus much more. Explore Montenegro, Athens, Santorini, Rhodes, Ephesus, and exotic Istanbul. On board ship, we'll have private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, cocktail parties, and talks about wine, all with me. Regent Seven Seas is the world's most inclusive luxury cruise line. The Mariner accommodates only 700 guests. The ship will sell out. To learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540 or click the link on grapeencounters.com. One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out grapeencounters.com. Grapeencounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's grapeencounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. Grapeencounters.com. And we're back with more Grape Encounters Radio, and time to get on board the gadget guru Matt Dubow of EpicStyle.com. Matt, I got to talk to you today about the 3 Ds.
Yes, please.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Not at all.
It's diet, decanters, and darlings.
Uh-oh.
I had 3 things on my mind today.
3 good things.
Yeah.
Or at least 2 of them.
Diet is, I guess, good, depending upon how you look at it. I guess we could start there.
Okay,
because it is the new year. Everybody's dieting. I, in particular, am dieting.
Really?
Yeah, I am. It's like, why do you say it like that? Like, oh, could that really happen?
I didn't mean it in that way at all.
And the last time you saw me, I, you know,
had taken a few off, right?
You definitely had.
Holidays were not that good to me.
A little too much food and vino, huh?
And you know, the truth of the matter was is that I really didn't enjoy it all that much. I mean, the food. So it really wasn't worth the sacrifice.
That's no fun.
But the problem, I think, with diet is that whenever I drink wine, then I want to eat good food. And vice versa. Like, they almost go hand in hand. So I'm trying to figure out a way to just sort of cut my wine consumption down without feeling deprived. But the problem is I like wine in big, you know, red wine especially, in great big, you know, wide glasses.
Right.
They always look so empty when you just put a little drizzle in there.
So get a smaller glass.
Is that the solution?
It would seem to be.
You ever gone to a restaurant where they bring out those really gigantic, they almost look like snifters of some sort or whatever, and then the waiter doesn't really know what he's doing, and basically there are three of you or four of you, and he dumps the whole bottle into four glasses?
Oh, yeah, I love those.
Oh, you like that?
Sure. Fill it up.
Let's talk decanters for a moment.
Yes, sir.
You posted a picture for me.
I did. I was actually up in San Francisco at this little restaurant off the beaten path and ordered a bottle of Symmetry. I was so surprised. The waiter said that he was decant the bottle. I don't remember the last time I was at a restaurant and the waiter said, I'm going to decant the bottle.
I went to a really good restaurant over the holidays. I mean, an exceptional restaurant. Asked them to decant and he looked at me like, what?
Really?
I mean, and it was like, close to a $100 bottle of wine.
Oh, wow.
I guess there's a limit. You decant after 200, I guess.
Well, this wasn't a $200 bottle of wine, but what really
got me...
Still
a good bottle, though.
It was a very nice bottle, but I was really pleasantly surprised. Rather than asking me if it was okay, he kind of, said that he was going to do it. And he was a young guy. It wasn't somebody that obviously had been around a while. I appreciated it. I really appreciated him taking the initiative and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to decant this bottle. Gave me the reasons why.
He might have known who you were.
He might have.
Just from, all the paparazzi and all that. Probably figured with all the cameras flashing and stuff like that, this guy's somebody important, or maybe this is the gadget guru and I need a decant.
And then I woke up.
I have to honestly tell you, I from time to time go on to epicstyle.com and I check out the ever-growing selection of decanters.
Yes.
There are some really sexy decanters there.
We have some very beautiful decanters.
I said sexy. They are. I mean, it's kind of the lines of the decanters are very sexy, especially the ones that are askew. They're not sitting straight up. They're kind of sitting on a bias.
Right.
And I think that, by the way, is a great Valentine's Day gift, which leads me into darlings.
Okay.
Diet, decanters, and darlings. Get it now?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect gift because you could go wrong with choosing a bottle of wine, but if you bought a really sexy decanter, that's a good gift.
I think so too, and as we've talked about in the past, more and more people are getting into wine, specifically red wine. I don't want to offend people or women, but I'm seeing a lot more women drinking red wine than ever before, where I would see more white wine women drinkers.
Well, that's because you hang out around white wine women drinkers.
But I'm definitely seeing a switch. So I think that because people are opening up to red wines, I think a decanter would be a great gift.
And it's something that I think has got some romantic notion to it because it, by its very nature, is romantic, right?
Yes.
But some of the decanters now are so, like I said, they're so sexy and curvy and beautiful and scintillating and, they almost look like perfume bottles.
We do have a few of those.
In a sense, they are perfume bottles, don't you think, Matt?
They almost look like an enlarged perfume bottle.
Yeah.
And if you want to smell the wine, that you can say that they are a perfume bottle in a sense.
So for those who are thinking ahead for your Valentine's Day gift, because Valentine's Day is like a month away.
Yes.
This is a good idea. It's my number one suggestion, although there are some very sexy cork stoppers at epicstyle.com too, if you want to do that. And then there are the little cork people. By the way, I got a lot of comments last week about your little cork people that you talked about.
You did?
Oh, gosh, yes. People, actually friends who had heard the show, who said that they actually went online. Not one, but two people said to me that they went online to check out the little cork people.
Really? That's great.
Because they were enthusiastic about the little cork people.
Well, that's great.
It shows you the kind of people I hang out with.
Good people.
They like corks that talk.
I actually, before we even started making these, I was in Hawaii in July and brought one of them to Hawaii, Lodi Spicoli. And I put him on a bunch of different dinners and cocktails and took pictures and put it all over Facebook. And a lot of people commented how neat the pieces were. They really liked the guy and wanted to purchase him.
I want to go back to the decanter for just one second.
Yes.
And I want to sort of a postscript comment about that. There's so much good boxed wine out there.
Right.
And I've been trying more and more of them. It's just overrunning the shelves wine stores. I still cannot bring myself to pour somebody a glass of wine out of the box, but I can bring myself to go into the laundry room quietly, put the wine from the box into a decanter, and then bring it out that way.
See, I have no problem.
I know, because you're even though I say I'm unpretentious, that only goes so far.
I'll take it to another level.
All right. Hey, Matt Dubow, I appreciate you being on. It's epicstyle.com. And you know what? I know people go and periodically check out the stuff there, but if you haven't been there in a while, go there now. Matt's out of his mind. I mean, you are out of your mind crazy with the products that you're putting on there now. It's so incredible and enjoyable just to sift through the stuff. You'll even find recipes there, for Pete's sake.
All kinds
of stuff.
And we're going to be increasing that in 2013.
Okay, let's put a diet section on there. This is a good idea. A whole section of recipes for people who don't want to give up their wine calories, so they're going to make sacrifices elsewhere.
I thought we already said what we were going to do with that. Drink out of a smaller glass.
Yeah, a little cup. Yeah, appreciate it. A thimble. Matt Dubow, gadget guru at epicstyle.com. Matt, have a happy rest of your day.
You too.
What a show. A wonderful visit with Michael Gergich. Just a rare opportunity to share him with you. And an unforgettable chat with Matt Dubow. We'll be back here, same time, same channel. Listen, just in case that bottle of wine runs out, remember, there's plenty more where that came from, so keep your glass always half full. This is Grape Encounters with David Wilson. We'll see you next week.